I mean, it was kind of like an act of desperation when I went into that recruitment office. It was like, basically, I told them, I don't need to be convinced. I've already made up my mind. Give me the paperwork and get me out of here. And I was on a plane to basic training 11 days later. So I did zero physical training for it before I went. And I wouldn't say that I was a fit person at all when I went in. And I certainly wasn't mentally prepared by any means.
A lot of the traits we put on people in the military are masculine traits. As far as what was expected of you in the military, did you witness a sense of machismo? And how did you deal with that, being, of course, a female?
I definitely experienced that, especially basic training. I'm a pretty emotional person. I didn't take well to people screaming at me, which is, you know, that's going to happen when you sign up. But when I was actually in that situation, I had like multiple grown men like screaming in my face. My reaction was to just cry. And that would only make them scream at me more. And I think like they kept an eye on me to see if I was like keeping it together. I felt singled out a lot of the time. They kind of beat that out of me in a sense, not physically, of course, but those first few weeks, I think I cried every day I was at basic training. And at first, like, I couldn't control it at all. Like, it would happen, like, during training, and it was humiliating. But then I kind of confined it to my bunk at night. I would just cry myself to sleep instead, which sounds terrible. But, yeah, like, outside of training, there's definitely a pressure to keep your emotions in check and make rational, logical decisions. And I think that if I were to be as emotional as I am comfortable being as a civilian within that military realm, I don't think I would have been taken as seriously. Like, it was definitely something that was discouraged. There's no crying in the military type of thing.
And so in the wake of the Me Too movement, of course, it started by addressing workplace sexual assault and harassment in Hollywood. It's filtered down to affect the way we talk about work environments, even in public radio. It's really, you know, we're realizing it's something that is common across very many fields, if not all professional fields. And stories about sexual assault in the military are not hard to find. Did you run into any personal experiences as far as like sexually harassing behavior?
Definitely. In the first year that I was in the Army, I received some inappropriate messages to my personal email from a person that was an NCO. So quite a bit higher ranking than I was as an entry-level private.
And an NCO stands for what?
A non-commissioned officer. When that happened, I had just started a full-time job and I didn't know what to do. You know, like I was afraid to say anything because I didn't want to be cast as that girl that's like, oh, here's trouble. You know, we got to treat her with kid gloves. And it's sad that I had to feel that I felt like I needed to treat it that way, but I didn't do anything about it. And then after being in the military for a few years, I think when I joined the military, I had really low self-esteem and very little confidence in myself. And that is something really positive I think I gained from being in the military, was a lot of self-confidence. So after being in my unit for a couple of years, I was being harassed by an individual and I did report it. I think it was handled exactly the way it should have been. I felt very supported throughout the whole thing. I know other women came forward about the same individual. Because we were being vocal about it, each of us felt safer coming forward and doing something about it. And then it was really reassuring to see our leadership doing what they should have done. They took us seriously. They treated us like human beings. And I was satisfied with that outcome.
Before, when we were talking, you mentioned that you also had some female role models that you were able to look up to during your time in the National Guard.
Yeah. So when I was considering joining the National Guard, I had a friend who joined. I think she was right out of high school when she joined, but she was an E6 staff sergeant and she was my age. She was very encouraging. And I think seeing her success and what it had done for her made me feel like I could do it too. And then in my actual unit, there was a woman. She was my unit supply sergeant. She kind of took a special interest in me. I think she saw potential in me. She definitely opened some really important doors for me, gave me some opportunities I'm not sure I would have had without. But she seemed really invested in me and seeing me do well. And we developed a close personal friendship. Her support was just indispensable to me. And to other women in my unit too. I think my unit was something like a little over 40 people total, and there were 3 women in the entire unit. So we were definitely a minority. So I think like we kind of banded together a little bit.
Obviously, when it comes to the military, personal expression is probably not on the top of the priority list for people who are training you. And when you put on that uniform, there's a sense of your own identity that I can only assume kind of goes away. You're part of a bigger picture, right? Can you talk about your gender expression and the juxtaposition of who you were in your personal life and just the act of putting on that uniform and becoming a different version of yourself?
The whole time I was in the National Guard, 6 years, I felt like I was living a double life. Like I put on that uniform and it was like camouflage literally, but also figuratively. I didn't want to draw any focus to my gender or femininity. I felt like I needed to fit in and be one of the boys. Like I didn't want to stand out or draw attention to myself. And it was stifling in a way. But at the same time, like I knew what I was signing up for when I joined the military. You know, after being in the military for a little bit and losing that sense of femininity a little bit, I think that I really launched into this phase of being really girly. Like I feel like I was playing dress up for like 2 or 3 years straight. Like I would wear like 50s style rockabilly dresses and spend a lot of time on my makeup and my hair, and my nails were always painted. It was just like I had to wear that uniform during the day, so any free time I had, I was like, I'm going to look as feminine as possible. So it definitely kind of brought that out of me. But I think that's a good thing, because before I don't think I outwardly put much focus on exploring that.
So you're no longer an active member of the Guard.
Right.
You spent several years doing that, though.
Mm-hmm.
What's your takeaway when it comes to sexism in society? What was your takeaway as far as your experience in the National Guard goes and what your gender may have afforded you or what challenges it might have presented?
So my experience in the Guard was definitely a positive one, I would say, overall. I don't regret doing it at all. I would do it again. And I think that I was really fortunate to end up in a very supportive unit. I don't think that my gender was a hindrance whatsoever. And I think that mostly I felt like I was treated like an equal. I was given all kinds of awesome opportunities that I'm really grateful for. And I don't feel like I was ever really treated poorly because I'm a woman.
Lauren, we previously talked about your time in the National Guard. Later this fall, you'll be officially discharged. And in the meantime, you've been spending the last 5 years or so learning how to tattoo. You're now an active tattoo artist. Can you talk about that transition and what made you decide to break into the world of tattooing in the first place?
Okay, so I got my first tattoo when I was 18 years old, and I haven't stopped getting them since. And it was very early on in my experience getting tattooed that I knew that I wanted to be a tattooer. I think my experience in the military gave me a lot of the confidence that I needed to pursue it and see it through. But yeah, it's been an interesting journey. You know, when I first decided that I wanted to do this, I reached out to a couple of different tattooers and told them what I was thinking of doing, and I just wanted to see if they had any advice to offer me or any guidance. And the response I got was kind of crazy. One guy told me that I needed to learn how to draw like a guy, that girls drew tattoos busted. So I've been tattooing for 4 years now, and I would like to say that I never did learn how to draw like a guy, and I think that I'm doing just fine drawing the way that I am. But it was like, when he said that to me, I was like, who says that people only want tattoos that look like they were drawn by a guy? And like, what does that even mean, you know? when I would draw designs as an apprentice at the shop that I learned at, I remember very specifically once being kind of proud of a design that I drew. And one of the established artists there was like, yeah, it looks pretty good, but you can definitely tell that a woman drew it. And I was just kind of like, what? Like, and also like, why is that a bad thing? And then like other people that I kind of asked for some guidance, they would just tell me that I didn't really want to do it. But they couldn't really elaborate on why I didn't want to do it, supposedly. But I think that only made me more determined to do it.
And it's no secret that subculture, the rock and roll culture that people put tattoo inside the category of, is something that harbors misogyny. That has changed over time and probably gotten better, but those roots are still there. I'm wondering what kind of hurdles that might have placed in your way. You've already touched on some as far as being told to not draw like a girl, but what were some of the other just obstacles maybe you encountered as a female tattoo artist?
A shop talk, for example, can be pretty difficult, and I think coming from the military and being a situation where it was like, oh, I can be one of the guys, you know, that's fine. But I was constantly hearing things that just like didn't sit well with me. And I could see in my clients' faces that it didn't sit well with them too. And I started to feel kind of an obligation or a responsibility to speak up and say, you know, hey, you've been living in this bubble, this vacuum for so long, and you think you have a right to behave a certain way, but maybe it's time to consider the fact that this isn't a man's world anymore. We have a right to be here too, and we want to be considered. You know, I don't make it my business to go around censoring people or telling them what they can and cannot say, but I think that, like, there's some lines that get crossed, and really all I expect of my peers is to just consider how they're making other people feel. If your reaction to that is, oh, I'm being censored, I'm being oppressed, I think you might want to re-examine your thought processes, you know? Like, is that what it's about here? You know, like, I think that getting tattooed is an inherently vulnerable experience, you know? Like, you're handing over trust to a person to permanently alter your body. And for me, like, I want to make my client feel as comfortable as I possibly can in an already uncomfortable position where they're also in physical pain. So if they're having to listen to, you know, disturbing comments and conversations and, you know, things that make them feel super uncomfortable within the experience of getting tattooed, like, I don't like that at all.
And in the wake of the Me Too movement, stories started coming out about particular tattoo artists who had shown predatory behavior, according to some claims. Can you talk about that kind of shift that I'm sure you witnessed as somebody who's active in the tattoo world?
Wow. Yeah. I think it's definitely something that tattooers know it's been going on for a long time. But there was one particular thing that happened some months back where a tattoo artist was exposed and really called out on social media, mostly on Instagram. There were a lot of what I consider to be kind of top tier tattooers that do excellent work, that have a huge following, coming out and making posts and saying, like, this isn't acceptable. We're not going to stand for it. You know, my chair is a safe space. And really kind of ousting these people from the tattoo community. You know, like, I think when you're a tattooer, there's a sense of honor and responsibility that comes with that, and this is just like a blatant abuse of power. And you see a lot of tattooers that travel around the country to work, and unfortunately, like, that really fosters the ability to get away with that stuff. They're assaulting somebody and then they're traveling states away and it might never come back. It made me feel really good to see the strong response from the tattoo community that, like, it wasn't going to be tolerated.
The time you've spent so far in your tattoo career, which you just said earlier is about 4 years or so now, you spent in Central Illinois in Springfield, and there's not a ton of peers as far as being a female and a tattoo artist. Did you come across clients who were seeking you out based on your gender? And did you at ever any point feel like a novelty, perhaps?
Absolutely. And that's something that I thought about a lot, especially when I first started out. Like, it was really important to me to not exploit my gender for success. Like, it was important to me for people to seek me out because they thought that I did good work, not because I'm a woman. But I do have clients that tell me that they are being tattooed by me because I'm a woman. You know, they like my work as well. But there are multiple, like, there's different reasons I've heard for it. I've had women come to me and say they sought out a female artist because they had a bad experience with a male artist. And I'm glad that they didn't write off the tattoo experience completely because of that. I'm happy that, you know, they sought me out wanting a different, better experience. And then I've worked with women that told me, like, their husband or boyfriend wouldn't allow them to be tattooed by a man. I tattooed a group of women a couple of months ago who were going together, kind of traveling the state, trying to be tattooed by different female artists just to support them, which I thought was pretty cool.
And so you will be leaving Springfield before too long here. You kind of actively sought out a work environment that harbors inclusivity and proactively calls itself a safe space for people. I think that word safe space has some stigma around mm-hmm. it, maybe some eye rolls.
Yeah.
Explain what that means, what that really means to you, and why you decided to make this shift, and just kind of what you're looking forward to at this point.
I guess it's kind of twofold. I don't feel like I was in a supportive environment as far as my own personal growth, but also I feel a sense of protectiveness over my clients. Like I touched on before, you know, I want to create a comfortable, safe, positive environment and experience for people that come to get tattooed by me. A lot of the people I tattoo are women. A lot of them tell me that getting tattooed has helped with their sense of body image and, you know, has helped them love themselves more. And I love that aspect of tattooing. So I wanted to find an environment that worked with that better, you know, that was more supportive of that. So I started seeing these tattoo shops popping up that, you know, like they were putting out there that they were inclusive shops or that they were a safe space, and there was emphasis on that. And I wanted to find a place where that was a priority. So I found it, I think, and I'm really excited. I'm really excited to see what being in an environment like that is going to do for my own personal growth and growth as an artist. I think like a supportive, positive atmosphere is only going to take me to the next level as an artist. But I'm also really excited to work in that kind of environment for my clients.
It sounds like in the short time that you've been a tattooer, you've witnessed a shift, right? At least as far as some of these problems coming out mm-hmm. into the light. I guess what's your hope for the overall industry? It's a huge one. But as far as, you know, the tattoo community, there is a sense, you know, people connect on social media and the world is becoming increasingly smaller as we all, you know, get to check out each other's work very easily. Everything's accessible. I guess just going forward, you know, what would you hope in 20 years when you're mentoring a new up and coming person within the field? What changes might you hope, you know, maybe what problems are you hoping that they might not have to run up against as much as you did?
I feel like we're on the right path. I've seen a lot of positive changes just in the past, like, 12 years or so that I started getting tattooed and then entering the tattoo community as a tattooer myself. I saw women in the tattoo world as this total rarity. And when I first started getting tattooed, Instagram didn't exist. So now it's a super important thing in tattooing. Like, that is your portfolio, more or less. But I'm seeing amazing female artists out there. I'm seeing shops that are mostly made up of women, and not just women, but like queer tattooers. I've met trans tattooers. I think it is becoming a more inclusive community where at one time it absolutely was not. It was a boys' club. And I think there still are people that are stubbornly holding on to that. But I would just encourage women that are, you know, interested in entering a field like this, you know, reach out for other women, like form relationships with them. I can't stress enough like how important it is to form, as a woman, to form supportive relationships with other women. And I've definitely made it a point to go out and get tattooed by a few women. I kind of realized after 10 years of being tattooed, I'd only been tattooed by men. But I hadn't seen any women in the area, you know, so I kind of had to travel to do that. But those are some of the best experiences I have of being tattooed. Yeah, so I guess, like, I think what's important is just putting yourself out there, you know, taking some risks.
I think as the national dialogue, public conversation shifts to really taking a hard look at some of the challenges females and people who are not men still face in society, one of the words that comes up is toxic. And we think, you know, some of these attitudes can be toxic to a work environment, like you're talking about. You work in one where you have vulnerable people with you every day. And so that's something that you've become super aware of. What do you think can be done when you are in an environment that seems toxic and maybe overbearing? Like, you can't really escape it, but, you know, a lot of people might not know what to do in that situation.
You know, it's scary, but I think it's really important to speak up and insist that we do better. You know, I think a lot of times when people do speak up, they're met with, oh, you're being too sensitive, or, you know, this person's a troublemaker, they're, you know, they always have something to say, or, you know, you kind of get, like, beat back down. And I think, like, yeah, you have to insist that change happens, and if it doesn't, don't sacrifice your mental health and well-being to try to fit in that kind of environment. You know, insist on better for yourself, too.